Thank you, Will, for the Bible reading. Hello, my name's Thomas. I'm one of the pastors in Grace Point. So it's great if you're new. Hopefully I can catch you, or if one of the regulars can actually go down, have lunch with you, and get to know you better. So my normal day, well, my normal week usually is going to, first thing in the morning, go check the website. And usually it's the Sydney Morning Herald or news.com, whatever. And just this week, I found out America had a midterm election. Australia, I don't think we have a midterm election, but America does. And this was to give a gauge how the Republican Party was going. Basically, how Donald Trump was going so far as president of America. And how he's going to make America great. That was his line. But the issue that the country has with him is very uncertainty he gives. He gives very uncertain or unclear what he's going to do. What he says is one thing, but what he does can be another. No one really knows what he's thinking. He does not give any assurance to anyone, to his country. He even the world has no idea what he thinks about. And don't we hate that? Don't we hate that? Imagine your boss at work is like that. They say one thing, but they do the opposite. Or a personal trainer. I don't know if you got one. I know some people do have personal trainers. And they turn them, come on, give me 10 sit-ups. And when you've done the 10 sit-ups, they go, give me 10 more. We hate it. We don't like it. But sometimes we ourselves might do that. And we don't even know about it. Like we tell our kids, I'm really busy right now. I've got two little kids. I'm really busy. I'll play with you later. But what happens? I forget about it. And it doesn't happen. Or promising to do something with your kids or spouse, but we forget about it. Until 6 months later, when they remind you, hey dad or husband, shouldn't we have a date night or let's go and watch a movie? But this morning, we see there's one promise which will always stand, which is given by God. But before I continue, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're so free to open the scriptures any time of the day. As we know, some countries are not like that. So we thank you that for this opportunity, we can hear your words, and not just hear it, accept it in our hearts, but apply to it in our daily lives. So I'd like to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 1 to 23, we're able to read how David meets with Jonathan to discuss an issue. The issue is not a small one. It's about King Saul. And David has no idea what he has done to King Saul. Has he offended Saul by some kind of action? Or he had wronged him, not following his instructions in the battlefield? Could it be not listening his orders as a king? Did he look at King Saul with the wrong way, which offended him? Why is it that the king want him to be killed? This is what's troubling David. But when we read this, we must understand David is talking to Jonathan. And Jonathan's father is King Saul. So there is a big issue here. It's a conflict of interest in some ways. Why would David turn to Jonathan? Why would he talk to Jonathan? Before that, we need to have a look at how David had been well accepted by many people. So let's have a look at it. So this is in chapter 17, we read about David's faithfulness to God. That he had defeated Goliath, whom everybody was afraid of. And that was last week's sermon. But then in chapter 18, David and Jonathan's friendship grew deeper and deeper, becoming really good buddies, good mates. We even read that one of Saul's daughter loved David, and they got married. And at the end of verse 30, we're able to see David had more successful, must be most successful than any servants of Saul. Furthermore, his name was highly honored, respected, and loved. Think about what's happening. How are people reacting to David? Even today, just say if David was around. I mean, if you go to the shops or at work, people will be talking about David. If you go to the website in the news, David will pop up in all websites. Most tweeted right now is David's name. If you're getting your hair done, David's names will be mentioned by the hairdressers. If people were, you know, coming to have a coffee, David's name would be present. David will be the first thing on people's mind and will be the hot topic which opens up all conversations. Have you heard David this time? What he's done? What's the latest news about David? David this, David that. It's all about David. Here's the thing. People will be comparing David to other people and even to King Saul himself. We can see King Saul's jealousy building up because David's always over-trumped him. Saul is jealous because his security is depending on what people think of him. Saul is jealous because he's always seeking people's approval. What made it worse was even King Saul's family loved David. And furthermore, Saul was afraid of David as the Lord was with him. So now it's important that we put ourselves in Saul's shoes. We need to understand that King Saul sees Jonathan as the next in line in the kingship. He is the first son. Jonathan is the key of his dynasty to continue and the family line to continue. So in Saul's eyes, David is a concern to him. Basically, a threat to his kingdom and a danger to the family line. Having him around, having David around, is dangerous because he's so popular. I'm the youngest in my family. I have an older brother. And of course, as the youngest, you're the most well-behaved and most liked. And since I was young, I always got picked on by him. As my brother would start all the fights. And you know that's not true. Anyway, my grandma would step in. And she always says these words to us. Blood is always thicker than water. So if you can translate in Cantonese, you probably understand that. I don't know if you have heard of that phrase. Basically, Granny is saying to us, never betray your family or go against it. Your family. You came from the same pool. You came from the same bloodline. Don't let anyone or anything go between each other. Family always sticks together. And don't let anything disband it. So stop fighting. Sounds like me saying to my kids these days. Even today, some of your family members might be saying that, like myself. If that's the case, why would David go to Jonathan in the first place? I mean, if you're a David, you'd be so worried about getting too close to someone who knows King Saul. is you'd be worried about whether he will go and tell the king what you thought of him. I mean, wouldn't this be treason? Because David is betraying the king. And this could lead to death straight away. Furthermore, we read and know that Jonathan is Saul's son. So is David that silly? Or is David playing a mind game? Like jello mind games here. Or is David trying to outwit Saul by using his son, by using Jonathan? But what do we read about Jonathan and David in this passage? They have a pact. They have a promise. Basically, they had a covenant together. But this pact, this promise, this covenant was formed back in chapter 18, verse 3 to 4. Let me read it. It says, "And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even the sword, his bow and his belt." This is where all this bromance comes started in chapter 18. Jonathan had a brotherly love for David and made a covenant with David where Yahweh, where God was their witness. A promise to keep a firm friendship with one another. So we need to understand this brotherly love is not a sexual thing, as some people have this idea about David and Jonathan. But this love is how a brotherly, or how a brother should love another brother as himself. A love to show faithfulness to one another, to be committed to the friendship, where there's transparency and commitment, where they're able to show loyalty and honesty, and where there is dependable kindness towards each other and assurance with each other. So the covenant, the promise towards each other was a very strong one, which God was a witness of its promise in verse 12 and 23. And with this, Jonathan and David set a plan in verse 18 to 22. This was a perfect plan, as no matter what the outcome is, both Jonathan and David will protect each other and are sure to keep each other safe. In the following verse, 24 to 34, we do see King Saul's intentions, and that Jonathan also witnessed with his own eyes. A father who is still thinking about his kingdom, about the king, and willing to do anything to keep it. With just a couple of questions, Saul blows up and almost killed his own son. Saul rips into his sons about how he had betrayed him, how he has shamed his mother by being friends with David, a friend who is threatened to Jonathan and the family line, family dynasty. Come with me in verse 30 to 31. In verse 30, Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother who bore you? As long as this son of Jesse lives in this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring for me him to me, for he must die." In this passage, there's no question. Saul's intention was shown very clearly, that David was to be killed so the Saul's family line can be saved. Saul knew that David was a threat, not just to him, but to his family and also to the dynasty and the kingship. But what Saul was thinking was normal in the context of the ancient time. When another nation comes and overtakes another nation, history has shown. The invaders go and destroy the whole ruling family. If you ever go to Hong Kong, as some of you guys do regularly, as family and friends do live there, or go shopping, or, you know, the beautiful food that you can get in Hong Kong. But there is a place in Hong Kong where there's a stone engraved with a name on it. That name is, in fact, the name of the last emperor of the Song Dynasty. And the history behind it was that the official was protecting the emperor, who was only roughly 8 years old, so maybe 1 year difference to my son. It was the last known family line of the Song Dynasty, and enemies had invaded. The enemies had captured the palace and the kingdom. As the enemies were ending the Song Dynasty family line, basically the emperor was being chased all the way from his palace to the place where we know today as Hong Kong. And they've been cornered on the cliff edge. And the officials had to make a choice. To surrender the emperor, meaning the emperor be caught by the enemies and tortured or killed, or to jump off the cliff with the prince. And the second choice was the outcome of it. Hence the stone engraved name of the last Song Empire. So once the old dynasty was finished, the new dynasty comes into power. So in some ways, this was Saul, how he was thinking. King Saul was trying to prevent his dynasty from dying. That's why he was angry with Jonathan. So in this passage, we find out that Saul's intention was, and we now see the difference between Saul and his son Jonathan, how their response towards the kingdom of Israel. King Saul was told he had lost his kingdom due to his disobedience. And it was a continued disobedience to Samuel, who was a prophet of God. A prophet with a message, he's a messenger of God. A prophet was a person who God speaks to. And then the prophet would pass a message to the people, to the king. And we must not forget that even Saul was the king of the nation. He was not in charge, because even him himself had to listen and obey Samuel's word and direction, which was God's word. And if we look back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul and his armies were in Gilgal waiting for Samuel to arrive to make a sacrifice, to receive a blessing before going to battle, going to war, and which was common. King Saul arrived, but Samuel was not around. King Saul waited and waited and waited. And then Saul saw his army was getting restless, and even some of his men started to leave. So he decided to make a sacrifice for himself. But by doing this, he had disobeyed God's rules and laws, because only the high priest was meant to do the sacrifice. That's in chapter 13. Then in chapter 15, we read that King Saul had not obeyed and listened to God's word because his heart was not with the Lord. Samuel had told him to destroy a wicked nation, the Amalekites, and not to take any plunder from them. And what do we read? Saul does half a job. He and his men had kept some plunders, which was pleasing to their eyes, and destroying the weak, sparing what is good in their eyes, looting what they saw was gaining from it. And what made it worse, when Samuel confronted Saul, Saul comes out with excuses for not following instructions. We read that he starts blaming. He blames and points fingers on his soldiers, on his commanders, and any other people besides himself. It wasn't my fault. It was not me. King Saul did not take responsibility for what he had done. And what do we see from Saul? He was more concerned about what people thought of him than God. He rather pleased and impressed men than God. He rather had people liking him than having God. Because of his disobedience, God had rejected him from being king of Israel. And today we read that King Saul still sees himself being able to hold on to the kingdom, thinking he's still in charge because he is the king of the nation. He still thinks he holds all authority and power. He still thinks he is the ruler. He still thinks he has a say in who will be next in king. Which in fact led him to have concerns and feeling threatened by David. So he reacted with anger to protect his family line, his dynasty line. But with David, with Jonathan, what was his take on this? So let's look at Jonathan's side. It was very different, very different. He saw the nation did not belong to him, nor his father, as the kingdom belonged to God. Jonathan basically saw that God was the one who had authority and power. He saw God was the one who rules. He saw God was the one who anointed the king. And we can see this when we go back to verse 14. It's interesting what Jonathan says to David. Let me read it out. "But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemy from the face of the earth." Don't you see what Jonathan is saying to David? On paper, Jonathan has all the power. On paper, Jonathan has all the authority. And on paper, Jonathan has all the rights as a prince. He's the son of King Saul. And in this verse, Jonathan is telling David to show kindness to him and his family line. Basically, Jonathan had asked David to remember the pact, remember the promise, remember the covenant, and to show kindness to him when time comes. And to treat his family well when David's time as kings arrive. We see Jonathan has secured his family line with David. Because God is the one who has authority. And is the one who can give and take. Jonathan knows that God is in charge and is the ruler. Not Jonathan himself, nor his father. Both King Saul and Jonathan had the same idea. Putting assurance on something or someone. But one who had the wrong idea or wrong approach was King Saul. Because he still believed he has authority and power. He still believed he's the ruler. He believed he's the king. He's putting assurance on himself. But on the other side, Jonathan had the right approach in life. He knew God had authority and power. He knew God is the ruler. He knew God is the king over him. He has put assurance on God. So from today's passage, we see the covenant of David and Jonathan. How both will keep their words and promises. And we see the loyalty they both have for each other. But we also see the covenant which they have made as well. Just something that both can find refuge in a time of need and assurance. So when things were clouded and uncertainty, so where do we put our refuge today? Where do we head for our assurance in life? Our assurance can be ourselves. I can fix it. Maybe our assurance is our work, our studies, or even our family. It could be in a relationship or having a relationship. It could be even having money so we can buy and travel for our assurance. But you know what? God Himself had made a covenant with us. A covenant which is through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The covenant is whoever believes in Christ, who died for mankind, for man's sin. Whoever repents and see God as King, then He will forgive their sins and they have a relationship with the Father, with God. We need to know that our assurance of being saved is with Jesus. So the covenant with God provides us assurance of life and salvation. And this is where we should place our assurance in today. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Paul, a disciple of Christ, he writes to the churches. He writes a question in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? When hard time comes, what we just heard in East Asia, persecution, and so on and on. But Paul also gave us an assurance and answer in verse 37 to 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Then Paul goes on and explains the assurance he has. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is where Paul's assurance lies. So our assurance shall only be from Jesus Christ. There's nothing which can be separate us from His love. Not our work, relationship, money, our kids, shopping, traveling. There's nothing. These things won't last. They won't last. These things will fail us. These things can and will disappoint us from time to time. And furthermore, our assurance is not just head knowledge, but it should also be in our hearts. So wanting to seek God, a heart which wants to glorify Him always, a heart which wants to put Him first, which comes to my second point. We need to understand, as Jonathan holds firm to his words, and are we able to do this in our life? Jonathan put God's servant David in front of himself. Jonathan keeps God's words rather than listen to his father Saul's words to kill David. Jonathan accepts that the kingdom belongs to God. We truly see Jonathan gave up everything. He was the next in line to be king in the family. He was willing to suffer and lose everything what the world had to offer. Where do we see ourselves today? And here's a great warning for us too today. Because if we still see ourselves as rulers of our own life, we do whatever it takes to live a life which is pleasing to ourselves and to our own eyes. What suits ourselves and what's the most comfortable to us. As we do this, we're basically saying to ourselves, we are in charge. We are saying we have all authority and power. We are saying we are king. Basically, we are saying we are the one who decide how we are to live in our life. Our own desires. Meaning we are acting like King Saul, who knew God but disobeyed him. Who knew God but won't listen to his words. Saul only knew about God, but never really accepted God in his heart. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, this verse really describes King Saul's action and character. Verse 21. For though they knew God, or Saul knew God, he neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but they thinking become fertile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The result for King Saul, that he will be facing God's wrath for his unrighteousness, ungodliness. So from this, we are to be like Jonathan, who not just knew about God, but has accepted God in his heart. The way he fought and acted was a man who knew God, a man whose father was king of the nation. But he knew it was not his place. Because he knew that this kingdom was not his father's, but belonged to God, Yahweh. A man who knew that God had authority and power in all things. A man who knew God was the ruler. And Jonathan was to be a servant. He humbled himself and was obedient. He listened to God's word. So are we prepared to listen to God's word today?